Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. This Sunday morning on 91.7 WVXU, I'm Mark Purcell. A review of the new movie, The Hurt Locker, on the way in about 20 minutes. Besides questions of his will, custody of his kids, and whatever else the tabloid media can find to focus on, the recent death of Michael Jackson also raised questions about artists and their inner demons. Is there a connection between creativity and self-destruction? A recent article by Tony Hicks in the Contra Costa Times that was posted on the San Jose Mercury News website explored that issue. And among the doctors and scientists quoted for the article was Dr. Anne Paris, psychologist and author of Standing at Water's Edge, Moving Past Fear, Blocks, and Pitfalls to Discover the Power of Creative Immersion. Dr. Paris lives here in the Cincinnati area, so I invited her in to talk about artists and their inner demons. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
And now, Tony Hicks' article reveals that doctors and scientists have been studying the connection between creative people and mental illness and substance abuse for a long time. Does that mean that the stereotype of a tortured creative genius is true?
Well, I think that it's often true, and we certainly hear about it a lot in the media, so it brings attention to those folks. I would say that first that, you know, creative genius, I think, is not a black and white issue. That, you know, there are some very creative people, artists who produce a lot of work, and then others who, you know, produce very spottily. And then there's those of us who aren't so famous but who have a lot of creativity to express. So I think that we're talking about the human condition here, probably with a highlight on the bigger name artists that we run across.
I guess it is the pop culture that's passing the word around, if
yes.
you may. Because
yes.
you see Elvis Presley, who, you know,
right.
didn't necessarily do drugs during his career that we know of, but, you know, did succumb to them. And,
right.
You know, so many instances that they quote. But I noticed that sometimes it's the addiction, if it's a drug addiction or a substance abuse problem, comes before the creative genius. So, you know, which begets which.
Right, and it's hard to sort out, and I think sometimes it can go either way. The way that I've kind of understood all of this is to appreciate that people in general have an innate need to feel immersed. And this is a word that I use to capture that sense of being at one with something else, connected in with something else. And in creativity, we can see it as being immersed in our artwork and the process to where we've kind of, you know, merge with that piece of art that we're working on or the medium and kind of become one in that process. And it moves us along as much as we move it along in the process. I think that we all have this need to immerse, and often it can be with spirituality and nature, with other people, but that we move in and out of this space of immersion, and that for the artist, when they're in that creative immersion, they're feeling alive and vitalized and creative, and they're really at their best. But when they disengage from their work, they're kind of left with themselves. And if they don't have another place to turn for this sense of immersion, often they'll turn to drugs or alcohol or some other addictive behavior to get that temporary sense of being immersed into something else. And I think that it's relationships with other people that can really help protect us from becoming addicted or severely depressed. If we can immerse with others and get support from others, then it strengthens us to go back to our art.
When it comes to the popular culture folks, the creative uh-huh. geniuses we talk about there who are, you know, have big success, well, the big success brings big problems as well because they're more public, but then they're more isolated. And these support
yes.
systems, what you're talking about when it comes to immersion, are kind of affected.
Right. I think that often they can become more and more isolated. And more and more known for their art and less known for their personal self, so that they can feel very supported, get a lot of acclaim for their artwork, but as a person, they can feel very isolated and often very unconfident and frightened in their personal lives.
And when they talk about highly creative people, there's one part in the Tony Hicks article that talks about the physiology of the brain and how sometimes with these creative people, they are highly creative people, their brains are wired a little bit different, which helps out with the creativity, but also makes them more prone to mental illness. In your experience, is there physiology involved?
I think there's a lot of physiology involved. These days, there's so much new research coming out on neuroscience that we're really beginning to understand what happens physiologically. Creative people are probably, you know, more tuned in to the environment, to their senses, and we do know that a lot of great artists have severe mental illnesses, such as bipolar disorder, which is manic depression. And in that manic state, it is a very heightened state of awareness. So a lot of, you know, people with bipolar disorder become incredibly creative in their manic state. We've also found, though, that when a person is in this state of immersion, connected in, feels connected in with someone else, that their brain is really operating at its best, so that you know, we see various parts of the brain light up, which means that part is activated and primed and kind of ready to go. So I believe that it's reaching for this state of immersion that really enables people to, you know, come up with new ideas and act on them and not procrastinate the work.
Now, when it comes to creativity and highly creative people or regularly creative people, there are many examples of people who aren't necessarily damaged by mental illness or substance abuse,
right,
and who have success.
Right.
So you don't have to be a tortured creative genius, right?
Right. But I do, you know, I think that the creative process also can cause a lot of torment for people that you know, when they get out of, they disengage from the immersion and don't have a good support system or somewhere else to turn for that. They can become quite depressed. They can become very anxious and, again, vulnerable to reaching to drugs or alcohol or some other addictive behavior to fill that gap. I think that, you know, part of the creative process, I believe, is done in order to have an impact on other people and as a way to connect with other people. And all artists know that agony and vulnerability they feel when they've put themselves totally into a project and now it's out for, you know, review or for response. And even the best of artists can feel like, oh no, what have I, you know, I've exposed too much and what am I going to be rejected? And, you know, it can be a really emotionally brutal kind of experience to go through the process itself.
Now, you worked with creative people for 25 years now. What have you found to be their greatest challenge?
I think this, you know, the ones that come to me as a psychologist often are coming because they're blocked. They can't seem to get to their work. They procrastinate or they feel like, you know, they're just unable to get back to their work. And underneath all of that, I think, is a lot of fear that all of us have to cope with. But the, you know, artists as a group tend to, you know, need to deal with their insecurities, their fear of not being good enough, their fear of not living up to their last project, you know, all kinds of expectations. And the more famous they become, I think the bigger that problem becomes for them, that they have to keep upping their own, you know, work.
How do you get creative juices flowing? When you have these artists who are coming in and they have blocks and or fears and, you know, they're overcoming those, how do you get the creativity flowing?
Well, I believe, again, in the relationship, and so I really rely on my relationship with them in trying to understand and appreciate where they are. Most people come in saying, I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I'm lazy. I think I'm weak. I think I'm, you know, I'm not confident enough to do this, and there's something really wrong with me. But when we look underneath that, we see that they're frightened and they're needing some support. They're needing some connection. And so, you know, within a supportive relationship, I find that a lot of them just naturally kind of feel ready to do their art again. They feel strengthened enough to take that risk. And it is a risk to create.
Dr. Ann Paris, a clinical psychologist and author of the book Standing at Water's Edge, Moving Past Fear, Blocks, and Pitfalls to Discover the Power of Creative Immersion. Available where books are sold. A link will be posted at wvxu.org. Thanks, Ann.
Thank you.